Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
You don't want to say amen just yet because you know already that there have been moments in your life where you have not been as grateful or have not expressed it as much as you should have. Now, keep in mind that there are those who go together. The experience or the feeling of gratitude has to be coupled with the expression of gratitude. Just because you feel grateful, if you don't express the gratefulness, it's not real gratitude. Oh, you missed that. Because see, some of you feel justified in the fact that you feel gratitude. You know that you didn't deserve it. You know that it was a good thing that they did for you, Sister Antoinette. But until it comes out of your mouth, until it is actually expressed, it is not real gratitude. Tell your neighbor, you got to learn how to really be grateful. What's interesting is that the first thing that I'm going to point to you in this text, and it's going to be a little out of order, so forgive me for that, but the first thing that I learned in this text is that really gratitude is a learned behavior. Everybody does not know how to be thankful. Some of you are in relationships with people, and you already know that full well. Not everybody. As a matter of fact, most times people are nowhere near as grateful as you want them to be. How can I express it? You ever bless somebody real good? And they were happy the day you blessed them? And then 2 weeks later, they were treating you as if you had never blessed them before? Oh, now you know what I'm talking about. Now, you're thinking about your cousin right now. I know you are. Uh-huh. You didn't have to do it. You know what complicates the matter for you as an individual who has blessed someone when you really didn't have it to bless them with? But you extended yourself. You ever gave somebody your last? And then watched them not only do something that you would never have financed if you had known. Y'all ain't talking to me. Child, I'm giving people money. I gave you my last $100 and you went shopping? Girl, you better have paid a light bill or something. I'm the only person that feels that. Obviously, Sister Tony, I'm the only person. Here's what's real. Gratitude has to be taught. Let me jump forward in the text. I'll back it up and present this particular point, another point later. But it's interesting to me that when we encounter these 10 lepers, one of them gets healed. Well, all of them get healed. One realizes it and goes back. And Jesus' question of him tells us that there was an expectation. If it was an expectation, it means that we should know it. But obviously, somebody didn't catch that lesson along the way. Jesus' question to him, Mother Jo, is, didn't I heal 10? Shows us that Jada, gratitude has to be learned. It has to be learned. Let me slow up in these moments that are ours on this morning and make sure that you understand exactly what's going on, because the Lord wants you to be grateful. Somebody shout, I need to be grateful. Honestly, it is an affront, a sin to God to not be grateful. Ingratitude is a sin because whenever we don't thank God for what we have, we show we do not recognize nor remember everything we have is from God. Our lack of recognition and thankfulness means that we believe all we have was produced by our own hand. When we believe this falsehood, we have obtained rather strength because of our own. Then we learn that we are living ungodly lives, forgetting he is the one who has given us everything. This attitude is what Moses counseled against in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. Can you get that for me? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. Watch what Moses counsels the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I guess we can't. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was off. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 and 14. Let me tell you what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 11 and 14. 11 through 14. Boy, it's something to turn pages. I ain't used to turning pages on no Sunday morning. Not no more. Deuteronomy chapter 8, what verse I said? Uh-huh. But that is the time. Let me start at verse 10. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land
he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. What time? The time after you've been blessed.
Can you catch this real quick in your spirit? That the most dangerous time for a believer is right after they get blessed. Right after God answers your prayer. Right after God heals your body. Right after he fixes your situation. That's the most dangerous time. It's critical because that's the time where you are most likely to forget that God actually worked in your life. I know it's hard to believe that you would ever be put in that place that you would be wanting and needing, desiring God so bad, only unsent to have him come in and do exactly what you were praying and believing him to do. You wouldn't think it of your own self, Brother Kevin, that once God does it, you would actually forget him. But Moses counsels us. He says, be careful, because in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. It's an interesting thing that you and I have to learn how to be grateful. Tell your neighbor one more time, I got to learn how to be grateful. Let me tell you quickly, these people in our text, these 10 lepers that Jesus encounters, they have the disease that is leprosy. It is, or it was, the most terrible disease in the day of Jesus. The most terrible. It was disfiguring, sometimes fatal. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, leprosy becomes symbolic for sin. Sister Dane, let me tell you about leprosy. Leprosy was a flesh-eating disease. It literally disintegrated a person's flesh from the bone out to the skin. It just disintegrated. People who had leprosy could be walking down the street, and before they realize it, a toe, a finger, chunk of their flesh would just fall off. It was disfiguring. And the leper himself was, even Levitically speaking, according to the law, considered unclean, both physically and spiritually. The person with leprosy could not even approach within 6 feet of any person, including their family members. As a matter of fact, when they came into the public, they had to announce their presence, shouting to everyone what they were: unclean. According to Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45, their clothes were to be rent, heads shaved bare, and they had to put on a black covering even upon their upper lip and cry unclean. They were literally judged to be the living dead, banished as an outcast, totally ostracized from society, earthly, and it appeared even heavenly. As a matter of fact, they were thought to be polluted, incurable by any means necessary. It was then that for a leper to be cleansed, everybody knew it had to be the hand of God at work. Can you imagine the anguish felt, the heartbreak felt by these people who are lepers, completely cut off from their family and society, completely experiencing rather daily emotional and mental pain. And yet they've heard about Jesus. And what do you know? There he is, coming right into their serious condition. Jesus shows up at the border between Galilee and Samaria. And if you're in that kind of condition, you can honestly appreciate how it is that they beckon for Jesus, crying with a loud voice. Saros, they shout, "Father Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy. I need you to come heal me. I need you to come touch me. I need you to come fix me." Some of you, just like me, have been in that same situation. Your thing, whatever you had going on in your life, was so severe, so bad that when you thought Jesus would listen, when you thought he was close enough, when you thought the worship had been right, when you thought the atmosphere was set, you, sometimes maybe not with a loud voice, but from the depth of your soul, you cried out, "Father, Jesus, have mercy." Anybody ever prayed for mercy? No, I mean, really, have you ever prayed for mercy? I mean, you ever prayed for God to do for you what seemed impossible? You ever asked God to step into a situation where there was absolutely no hope? You ever been at the end of your rope, back against the wall, and you knew that everything and everybody that you had tried had come to nothing, and you found out that the Lord still loved you? Do you remember that prayer? Do you remember that prayer when after the doctor had told you there's nothing else we can do? After your loved one had been declared already gone? When the thing that you were hoping could be miraculously fixed? When you saw that there was nothing else, but then you remembered somebody else testified 2 or 3 months ago that the Lord did it for them, and you thought to yourself, maybe, just maybe, if he's got one more miracle left, he'll have mercy. Y'all, ain't nobody ever been there. I want to talk to people who know what it's like to be totally out of money. You and everybody you've ever called and asked, they ain't got money. It's a bad week for everybody. But what you got going on has got to be done right now. Somebody ought to shout, have mercy. I know full well what it's like, Maria, to be in that place where all I can do is call on Jesus. If you've never been there, keep living 2 or 3 more days from now, 2 or 3 more months, 2 or 3 more years. You will find yourself in a situation where nothing and nobody can help you but the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's a necessary thing to come to a place that nobody but Jesus can bring you out. Anybody ever been there? Let me just see the hands of the folk who know what it's like to be out of options, out of resources, out of hope. And then you remember that there is a balm in Gilead. I feel like preaching right now. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you got to ask for mercy. It's that kind of understanding that I need mercy. I'm not going to have anything to offer to you that's going to give you cause to bless me back. I've got absolutely nothing to present except the deadness of my situation, the deadness of my life, the deadness of my relationship, the deadness of all the thoughts that are in my mind. I've got absolutely nothing to offer you. As a matter of fact, if the miracle was available, I ain't got enough money to pay for it. I'm really honestly almost out of faith to believe that you're doing it for me, but yet here I am. And if you're gonna touch anybody, make me the one. If you're gonna heal anybody, make me. Y'all ain't talking to me. I need to talk to somebody that really can say, I need Jesus to have mercy. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. They cry out for Jesus. They cry out for Jesus, and they say, have mercy on us. Watch his response, Chris. Jesus doesn't even go over to him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The Bible says he looks at them. That's all he does. He just looks at them. And honestly, I should have told him to give me more time because now I feel like preaching. He looks at them, and I've learned that the look is enough. Okay, let me tell you, Aisha, when I learned that the look was enough. I was a little kid in my father's church. Angelina, you remember these times and situations where we would be doing things like kids do, like, you know, we weren't supposed to do because we in church. We ain't supposed to be acting like we acting, but we acting. You understand what I'm saying? And my mom would be sitting almost with her back to us. She'd be kind of on the side, you know, chairs that face this way, everybody else face that way. And my mama would just have a sense that we were acting up. Because we were good at acting up. So it wasn't like she heard us. We knew how to contain. But Elder Hill, I'm sure you remember, there were moments Mama didn't have to say anything. She didn't text us and tell us to behave. Huh? Didn't have no cell phone. Ain't have a beeper at that time. But you understand, Mama did have something in her arsenal that was nonverbal. It was a look. Kind of went like this. And the look communicated to me and my siblings everything we needed to know. The look said, straighten up. The look said, if you don't get it together now, as soon as we get out of church, I'm going to snatch your little raggedy tail up and I'm going to beat you from here to the house. And that wasn't that far because we live right next door. We would like the church and the house. But still, it was longer than what I wanted. All of that was in one look. Huh? I looks mean a lot. Bruh Henry, there are some days, Lady Kim ain't seen me all day, you know. She didn't see me when I left. She don't know how good I look. She don't know how good I smell. And after having not seen me, when she first lay eyes on me, Marcus, sometimes it's the look. You know that the look says, wasn't expecting all that. Oh, okay. The look says, it's, well, children in the room, I can't tell you what all the look says. Tell your neighbor, just one look, just one look, just one look. Can I tell you something? It might only excite about three of y'all, but right now the Lord is looking at you. Woo! Wait. And if he says not one word, can I tell you what the look means? The look means I got a blessing with your name on it. The look says there's something about to happen in your life. The look says you didn't think this was going to be your day for a breakthrough. But hold on, buckle up, because I'm about to totally change your life. Tell your neighbor, I want him to look at me. Bible says that he looks at him. I'm almost out of here. The Bible says that he looks at him and he doesn't touch him. He didn't go over and spit on him. You know, he used to do that. He had spit ministry. He don't do none of that. But he just talks to him. Mother Ferguson, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, because leprosy was a disease that was only believed to be curable by the Lord, whenever a person believed they had been healed of leprosy, they had to be validated by presenting themselves to the priest. Jen, they had to go show themselves to the priest, and the priest, as God's representative, would offer validation as to whether or not they had totally been healed and cleansed. Jesus says to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And the book says, as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, I don't want you to miss this, because as they're going, which means that this healing is progressive. That this is not my preaching point, but in reality, some of us haven't gotten what we want from the Lord because there's no progression in our own movement. You are still where you started, trying to get God to bless you. Some stuff only happens when you step. And with every step, you get a little bit better. With every step, you get a little more clean. With every step, you get healed. Y'all ain't talking to me yet. With every step, you get a little closer to the place of fulfillment and manifestation. Well, one of these fellas realized that he had a finger had come back. That pinky wasn't there Wednesday. He realized that his steps were a little stronger. Flesh was clearing up. He reckoned to himself that, Sister Tina, Lord, I'm healed. Old boy does not go to the priest. He turns around. Goes back to Jesus. And as loudly as he cried for mercy, he's screaming at the same level, praise God. Can I bless you real quick? Lean in. This might hurt, but lean in. Lean in. This is going to be real good. Are you ready? Catch it now. As loudly as you ask for him to help, that's how loudly you ought to praise him once he helps. As desperate as you were for him to come through, that's how desperate you ought to be to ensure that you give him the praise after he comes through. As much as you were in his face saying, Lord, do it. Once he does it, you need to be in his face with the same intensity, with the same. Oh, God. He goes back. I'm done. He goes back to Jesus and he says, praise God. He falls at Jesus' feet. Now, understand, don't forget, Sister Barbara, he ain't supposed to be touching nobody. But he falls at Jesus' feet because thankfulness lets you get closer. Y'all ain't hear me. That there's no shame when you know how to be thankful. Thankfulness invites you to a place of intimacy that you can't arrive at with ingratitude. Thankful people always get a little closer. Some people have asked me, because, you know, I'm quick to tell other folk, you know, who are my favorite members. Yes, I have favorites. Get it in your head. If you're one of them, good. If you're not, you can be one. I love you all, but I do have favorites. I want to tell you how favoritism comes into play. It ain't no different with me than it is in your own house, on your job. It's the ones who do the most. It's the ones who give the most effort. Yeah. There's a little thing that they just kind of rise up in the eye. It's what gratitude does. It's an understanding that the more thankful I am, the closer he lets me get. The more gratitude I display, the more he just by default blesses me. You ever got a blessing just because you were close? If you hadn't been in the position you were in, you would not have gotten the blessing that you got. Thankfulness is the doorway that says, come on in and get this extra. Tell your neighbor, you can be close if you want to. I'm done. Here it is. Not only does thankfulness allow you to come closer, this young man is so thankful that Jesus' response to him is, hey, go your way. Now, I told you, when you were cured of leprosy or believed to be cured of leprosy, you had to go where? Why? Validation. You got to show yourself. Only the priest could determine whether or not you had really been cured. He was on his way to see the priest and realized he'd been healed. Goes back to see Jesus. And Jesus' response to him is not, didn't I tell you to go see the priest? Now, Jesus' response, Brother Cannon, is go whatever way you want to go. Because, see, thankfulness means that I no longer have the need for external validation. I'm so thankful you don't even have to like it. I'm so thankful you don't even have to agree. My gratitude excuses me beyond whether or not you like how I pray. Y'all ain't talking to me. But is there anybody that has learned that when I'm really thankful, that I don't need nobody to agree or like the way I praise? I didn't mean to do that, but I feel it right now. Would you give your neighbor a high five and tell him, I don't need you to like it? Just understand that what God has done for me, I realize couldn't nobody do it but him. I wish I could preach to the church right here. I realize that how God has worked in my life, couldn't nobody do it but the Lord. I feel like singing like David. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, have I got a witness? Is there anybody in here that can say, I'm going to be the one who remembers to give God praise? Here's why I got to bless the Lord. Because you don't know what he brought me from. I know I look cute on Sunday morning. Well, I look cute most of the days. But on the days I look the best, I remember what he had to get me up out of. I was really a wretch undone, lost in a world of sin. Some of y'all were amateur sinners. But can I talk to the professional sinners in the room? Some of y'all that could sin at a whole other level. You ain't got to say amen, because you don't even want to tell the same statement. You don't even want to keep your testimony honest. But those of us that really know exactly how bad we used to be, we understand that we did not deserve his touch. We did not deserve him looking at us. We did not deserve him deciding that that was going to be the day that he turned our life around. But I am glad that he took one look at me and decided to bless me. He decided to heal me. He decided to pick me up and turn me around. And then he placed my feet on solid ground. Have I got a witness? Is there anybody in here that can say, I'll be the one when I see God moving, even before he finishes, I'm going to turn around and give him praise. I'll be the one on the way to the house, make the illegal U-turn, and come back to tell him thank you for what you've done for me. Is there anybody in here that can say, I'll be the one who will not forget that it was God who brought me out? Somebody ought to shout yes, shout yes, shout yes. Is it all right if I just run back in my own mind how good God's been to me? Because you were not there when he kept me in that car accident, walked away without a scratch. That's why I'm thankful. You were not there when Kim was ready to walk away and God made a turn back around. That's why I'm thankful. You were not there when I was about to be evicted. Car was being repossessed, but God stepped in. That's why I'm thankful. Have I got one witness? Is there anybody in here that can shout, I'll be the one that gives him glory? I'll be the one that gives him praise. I'll be the one who lifts my hands and shouts with my voice that God has been good to me. God has brought me out. God, he made a way. Have I got a witness? Is there anybody here that knows he deserves to be praised? Somebody that don't mind opening your mouth, putting your hands together, and blessing your God. Shout yes, shout yes, shout yes, because he's worthy. Yes, because he's good. Yes, because there's nobody like him. I wish I had somebody with their own testimony, somebody that knew that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I ain't got no witnesses over here. Somebody that knows it was God on my side. Ain't nobody over here. Is there anybody over here who knows it was God on your side? Somebody take about 10 seconds and lose your mind and bless him. Bless him like you asked for it. Bless him like you know that God, I said God, is on your side. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes you just don't need a new miracle. But sometimes you gotta think back in your mind of what the Lord has already done. He's been so good to me. If he doesn't do not another thing, I'll spend the rest of my life giving him glory. Shout yes, shout yes, shout yes. Yes!
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-699-7962. You may also write to us at P.O. Box 350414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 8050 Lone Star Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill.